Welcome to the podcast series from the National Centre for Research Methods at the University of Southampton. In today's podcast, Professor Gary King from Harvard University and keynote at this year's Research Methods Festival talks about how he and his students stumbled into research looking at Chinese censorship of social media posts and the fascinating new insights it provides into the government's intentions.
China has an unusual system where they have a very large number of people that read social media posts the moment they are put on the web, or at least within a few hours. And the censors decide whether they're going to stay up. If they don't like the social media post, if it violates some rule or some intention of the Chinese government, then they take it offline. In place of it, there's a note that said this post is being investigated, or sometimes it just disappears. The Chinese government doesn't seem to be embarrassed that they're doing this, but they're doing it on a very large scale. They're pruning the internet post by post for what it is they don't want to appear.
Have we tended to assume what the reasons for that are in the past?
Yes, absolutely. In the past, what everybody thought was they were pruning criticism of the government. If you were in charge of social media censorship in a country, one thing you might want to do is censor anybody that's criticizing you. At least that might be an instinct. And so we always imagined that that's what the Chinese government was doing. We found, as you know, that is totally not the case.
So before we look at the actual details of what you found, let's go back a little step, because what's so fascinating is that when you set out on this journey, you weren't actually looking to examine the censorship of Chinese social media at all, were you?
We were interested in the methods of automated text analysis. And so it had nothing to do with Chinese censorship or even China. In fact, we were doing it in English. We were studying automated text analysis. That is, how do you understand what billions of people are saying in social media? There's a billion social media posts every 2 days worldwide, where any one person can say something so that, you know, several billion other people could hear it. But there isn't any way for any one person to understand what everybody's saying, because it's impossible to read all those things. So we came up with some methods of understanding large amounts of unstructured text, that is the text human beings write, without having to read it all. And we developed these methods in English, and they worked quite well. And we thought, why don't we stress test them? Why don't we see whether there's some way of figuring out whether we can push them until they break, and that way we'll understand the method. And so we thought, well, let's try Chinese. Some of my graduate students knew Chinese. We were able to get some social media posts from a local firm that I helped found called Crimson Hexagon, and they go around the world and collect all public social media posts. And so we thought, well, let's get from Crimson Hexagon a little database of Chinese language social media posts and the URL, of course, from which they came. And we'll just try it in Chinese. So we tried our method in Chinese, and it turned out to work fine, which was great because we got to understand the method. And then at some point I said to my students, hey, why don't you go back to the website from which these posts came? That is, click on the URL that came in this little database from Crimson Hexagon, and just have a look and see whether we're really pulling the social media post, or maybe sometimes we're actually pulling the ad and the ads, or, you know, or maybe we're not getting it right at all, or, you know, just understand the context of what we're doing. And so they went back to the database, they clicked on the URLs, and sometimes it went, of course, most of the time it went back to the same post. But sometimes they clicked on the URLs and actually didn't go anywhere, or it said something about being investigated. And we looked at each other and we realized, holy cow, we have a way of downloading Chinese language social media posts before the Chinese government could get to them and decide whether they're going to be censored.
So you almost stumbled upon this.
We completely stumbled upon it. We were in no way trying to study Chinese censorship, but it turned out that we had a source of data from Crimson Hexagon that was available, that basically produced the whole corpus of Chinese language social media posts that the Chinese people can't read, but we can. They can't read it because the Chinese government prevents them.
So once you got over the shock of what you'd actually found that you could do, how did you then take things forward?
Well, the first thing we decided to do was to stop our study of automated text analysis and to start using the methods of automated text analysis to study what the difference was between the posts that we knew were censored and the posts that were not censored. So what we had was this enormous database of social media posts. The next thing we needed to do was figure out, well, which ones were censored, which ones weren't censored. So, you know, how would you do that? Well, you just basically have to go back to the website and see whether it's still there, right? But then you have to make sure that it wasn't censored a second after you checked. And so you could imagine writing a little computer loop that would go out to the website and say, are you there? And then a second later say, are you still there? Are you still there? Are you still there? Are you there? Are you there? Are you there? Are you there? And that's known as a denial of service attack. So so we couldn't do that. And the Chinese social media companies would probably not be particularly happy with that. So instead what we did is we developed and used networks of computers around the world and checked each site from many locations all over the world in a way that didn't influence what was going on in China. So we didn't want to mess with the subject that we were studying. We just wanted to study it. So we would check the same site from the United States, and then we check the same site from another country, and we check the same site from another country, and you know, all over the place. And by doing it in a sort of delicate way, we would eventually figure out whether or not each and every individual social media post remained up or was censored by the Chinese government.
What did you do with that information once you'd got it?
So then we had basically two piles of information. We had the social media posts that were censored and those that were not censored. And we went and we studied them, and we used our methods of automated text analysis, because there's huge numbers of these, right? You can't just sit and read them. We sorted them first into 85 different topic categories, basically different dissidents or different policies or different events and all kinds of things that were going on. And we monitored what was going on in each of these policy areas. And what we looked for was the characteristic burst pattern in social media. So that is, what happens in pretty much any topic area in social media is there's discussion every day about that topic at a relatively regular rate. And then all of a sudden, something goes viral. There's some event in the real world, or there's some discussion online or something, and everybody starts talking about that one event or thing or concept. And so we looked for those bursts, those volume bursts of activity, because that's basically what social media is about.
Give us an example, if you can, of the sorts of things you're talking about.
Yeah, so if there were riots, in one place there were riots in Zhencheng. Zhencheng is the city in China where lychee nuts are produced. You know, so one of the things we were monitoring was the city and just any discussion about the city. As it happened, during the period during which we were monitoring it, there were some riots, and there was a burst of activity and discussion about this event. And, you know, at many times the rate of discussion previously. And so we went and captured that. There are many other kinds of bursts like that. In fact, in our 85 topic areas, we found 87 big volume bursts. So some topic areas had one, some had zero, some had two, et cetera. For each volume burst, we then figured out what it was about, right? So there was some concept or some real world event that everybody was talking about. That was easy to tell. We just looked at the some of the posts, and you can really tell what it was that they were about. Then we took each event and we put it into some categories so we could study it. First, what we did is we looked at posts that were critical of the government and those that were not critical of the government. And it turned out that posts that were critical of the government were censored no more or no less than posts that were not critical of the government. In fact, the ones that were supportive of the government were often censored just as much or more than the ones that were critical. So that was not a categorization scheme that made any sense. Within each of the bursts, we would look at, you know, there would be riots, or there would be an arrest of a dissident, or there'd be controversial public policy. There would be some posts that would be in favor of the government's policy and other posts that would be opposed to the government's policy. We would look closely and we would find no difference in censorship. The next thing we did is we said, well, wait, well, let's go back. Let's go back and rethink how this all works. What we came up with was the following distinction. We said, well, there's many reasons why you might censor. Two of the main reasons we thought might be criticism of the government. And then the other one, which we, for the first time, were able to at least conceptually separate from criticism, which is collective action. So any protest, any movement of people controlled by someone outside the government. And so we realized that these are two separate things. One is posts that are critical of the government and or the state or the policies or the leaders of the government. And the second is posts that have some collective action potential, that have some potential to move people. So we looked at that, and just to, since it's not a mystery story, I'll just tell you what we found, which is that they, you know, they don't censor criticism of the government. They do censor any attempt to move people, any attempt to form crowds controlled by people outside the government. And so you can say that the leaders of this town are slimes. They have mistresses, and here's their names, and they're stealing money, and here's how much money, and you know, you can say all those things. But if you then say, and let's go protest, then that will be taken down. In fact, so let me just go one more step. If you say that the leaders of this town are actually doing a terrific job, and they are giving their lives to the community, let's go have a big rally for them, that will also be censored.
Again, do you have a really good example of the sorts of thing you might be talking about there, an example of where people posted positive things about an initiative and wanted to go out and celebrate or party or have a rally, maybe in support of the government?
Absolutely. They just don't want anyone to control the movement of people. I'll give you an example in one of these volume bursts. There was an environmental lottery. So what that is there was a lottery, just like, you know, they have them in other countries. And the proceeds of the lottery went to environmental causes. People in China decided to have a big rally in support of this policy and to, you know, to encourage the government in their terrific public policy and, you know, maybe hope that they'll do it in other areas and things like that. This was all censored. There was an enormous volume burst of activity. So there was a collective action. There was a rally on the ground, you know, where people were, you know, holding signs in support of the government and things like that. And they shut it all down. They censored it all.
This obviously tells us a bit about how and what the Chinese government censors. But does it tell us anything about why or what the rationale is behind it? Or does it tell us anything about their approach? Did you go that step further, I guess I'm asking?
We don't really know what was in their minds or collective minds when they decided to do this. We don't even know whether there was one sort of evil genius or genius that decided to implement this policy, or whether it was just an emergent process that was, you know, the result of a lot of independent decisions. We really have no idea. However, if you think about it, it actually makes some incredible sense. So here's the story. What was the previous theory? The previous theory was you censor criticism of the government. Okay, so what's the benefit of that? So the theoretical benefit of that, you know, we all believed before was, okay, so we'll prune the web of things that are critical of the government. So then someone else, the next person that comes to the web in China, and they look at social media posts, they will see things that are more positive, and maybe they will have a more positive view of the government. So the question is that plausible? In a country in which it is well known that there's censorship, and you see only positive posts, does that make you feel more positively about the government? You know, I would say at best maybe a little. It's a dubious hypothesis, even though that's sort of what we thought. that was all of our collective hypothesis. But if you actually say it explicitly, like I just did, it's not so clear. Okay, so now let's think of the alternative, which is what we found. So suppose you let criticism happen and you censor collective action. What would the benefits and costs of that be? Well, if you censor criticism, what do you miss? You actually miss a big thing. Okay, so what do you miss? All right, so you're put in charge of China. You're running this government. You have more power than any person on the planet, pretty much. Well, how do you do it? Well, there's about 50,000 towns and cities in China. You put two people in charge, the political leader and the head of the China and the Communist Party, in charge of each of these places. So you have to find 100,000 of your closest friends and put them in charge of all these places. And then you get to keep your job if they are successful at mollifying the people. Right? The threat to the Chinese government is not the government of any other country. It's pretty much their own people. And so here's your job. You know, how do you know who to replace? How do you know who to praise? How do you know which leaders need support? So one really good way, I think, is to look at social media. If people are criticizing the government, some local government, and there's a large burst of criticism of that local government, the central leaders in China get to know, and they'd probably replace the local leader.
So you almost did sort of what one might describe as a cost-benefit analysis of what you found. Is that right?
Yeah, I think so. It's post hoc, right? It's, you know, we're trying to explain what it is that the Chinese government is doing. But it does seem that there's tremendous benefit to the Chinese leadership of having and allowing social media criticism. On the other hand, there's no benefit to allowing collective action activities, because then that could get out of hand and they could get thrown out of office.
Were there any other particularly interesting or unusual things that you found?
So I mentioned that we collected all these volume bursts and then we looked at what categories they fell in. And of course, the big one was posts with collective action potential. There were two other smaller categories that are sort of interesting that we also discovered that were also being censored that are just worth mentioning. One is sort of obvious, which is pornography. Basically, every government in the world censors some form of pornography, whether it's child pornography or, you know, other forms. So that's really not a surprise. And like in pretty much every other country, it doesn't really stop the Chinese people. But that's one area. But the other area is more interesting. It turns out that in China, you can criticize any leader of the government except the leaders that run the censorship program. So, that's right. So you can't criticize the censors. If you criticize the censors, your posts will be censored. So if you think of the list of all the inappropriate things that happen in the world, this is a particularly weird one. I'm not even sure that the Chinese leadership was aware this was true until we did our paper. I mean, they may be. I have no idea, really. But I wouldn't be surprised if they just had no idea and it was just sort of happening because it was sort of the natural inclination of the people running the censorship program.
So where next for this research?
What we've discussed so far today is the process in which they censor things by hand, where they read social media posts and they decide whether to take them down. On many sites, that's what happens. On some sites, however, there's an automated keyword review process. So they type in some keywords into their software. And if you write a social media post that uses those keywords, it will automatically take your posts and put it into sort of a purgatory. And then the censors, instead of deciding whether to take something down, they actually will decide whether to put it up, whether to actually put it on the web. And so we want to figure out how to study that.
How censorship in China allows government criticism but silences collective expression is researched by Gary King, Jennifer Pan, and Margaret Roberts and is published in American Political Science Review. You can find out more about the ESRC Research Methods Festival on the NCRM website at www.ncrm.ac.uk.